Chosen a passage, really a verse of scripture this evening for our text from the very first chapter of the first book of the Corinthians. And the verse is the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Just to give you a little setting here. The Corinthian church was, in the opinion of the Apostle Paul, a very carnal church, that is, an unspiritual church. And the basis for his observation was primarily, although not exclusively, the fact that the church was factionalized. There were little subgroups within the church. There were some who were devotees of Paul, and others of Peter, and others of a man named Apollos. And because there were these mixed loyalties within the church was divided. It was schismatic. And Paul upbraided them for that. It was in the context of that condition that he wrote this letter to them. And the emphasis as he opened this letter was that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And for those who were saved in that church, which was supposedly everyone, because only saved people are supposed to be members of a church, he was the Savior of all them. And the mission that Paul and Apollos and Peter and any other a man of high reputation possessed was to preach the cross of Christ, to tell of the cross of Jesus Christ and of our Lord's work that was accomplished upon it and because of it afterward. Now that's the setting, which is just a little warning for our own church. While we are not factionalized at the moment, it's always good to take the warning, don't get that way. It's just something that no church can afford. We can't afford to have schisms because of personalities. That was one of the reasons why I said the kinds of things that I said last Wednesday evening, that when men attempt to expand their influence beyond what it ought to be, there is trouble, considerable amounts of trouble. It's always that way. I guess it'll never change. Anyway, after Paul defended himself for doing what he did, he said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Now let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for bringing your word before us this evening. We thank you for your kindness to us today. We thank you for bringing us through this day and to this place. We thank you for opening your word to us. I pray now, Father, that as your word is opened before our gaze, that it would be put into our minds and translated from words to thoughts, to deeds, that Christ might be seen in us. I pray in his name. Amen. The 25th verse of the very same chapter says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men." So if the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, then it stands to reason that it's foolish to them, but wisdom to God. I would like to speak to you this evening about the event of the cross. There are some things, some spheres of influence, some viewpoints and some behaviors, which in our society would be left best in the closet. There are a lot of things that have become open in our society, which existed only in the closet before. It should have stayed there. But I must tell you that the one thing that should not be left in the closet in our society is your Christianity.
That's right.
And we have, I believe, in our lifetime, in our century, in our little brief period of history that has been given to us as a lifetime, seen a substantial decrease of open Christianity and a substantial increase in closet Christianity. And I guess what I mean by that is that because the cross of Jesus Christ is to those who are perishing foolishness, we generally are inhibited from displaying the marks of the work on that cross in ourselves. Would you turn to the book of Galatians, please? The very last chapter of the book. Same apostle writing to a different church. And you will notice in the writings, the apostolic writings of Paul, and not only Paul, but mainly Paul, I suppose because he wrote more than the other apostles did, a considerable emphasis upon the cross. I want to tell you that the event of the cross, that is what occurred on the cross and not the cross itself, is the source of our power. That's what we read in our text. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So I guess what we're talking about tonight is power. It's not simply power to think positively or that positive thoughts produce powerful lives. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's not simply that we shall have power to be successful in this life, at least by the world's definition of success. And that's not what the kind of power it's talking about at all. The kind of power that it's talking about has everything to do with being identified with, living for, and if necessary, dying for the Christ of that cross. That's the kind of power that is being referred to here. Here in the 14th verse, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And then notice down in the 17th verse, and this is key. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I think I've told you once before that the word which is translated marks in the English here comes from the Greek word stigmata, stigma, from which the English word is transliterated. We all know what a stigma is. A stigma is a mark either upon the psyche or upon the body. It's a brand. So Paul is speaking here about being stigmatized for Christ's sake. I bear in myself the stigma of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that it is entirely impossible for anyone to be stigmatized in Christ or about Christ or bear the marks of Christ when he is quiet about Christ. You will never become stigmatized because you will never be identified. And if you are not identified with Christ, You could never be stigmatized for Christ. It's an impossibility. And one of the great debacles of 20th century Christianity is the unwillingness of professing Christians, like ourselves, to be stigmatized for Jesus Christ. We are unwilling to do it. It's by Christ that we gain victory over all that is in the world. And if we will not bear his marks, we will not have his victory. Because if we are not closely identified with him, we will gain none of the benefits from him. Scriptures everywhere teaches that. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you will overcome, be in me, and be of good cheer, because I overcome. In order to be victorious, one must be allied with the victor. And the victor is Jesus Christ. You make no alliance with him, there'll be no victory through him. It's that simple. So it's not simply a question of whether or not we are the ones who are going to carry forth the banner of the truth pertaining to Jesus Christ into the next century, which is our responsibility. It's a question first whether or not our lives are going to be victorious ones in Christ Jesus because we are allied with him. We are connected to him. We are branded with his brands. We are marked with his marks. We carry within ourselves the stigma which he carried, which was not the applause of the world. Paul said in the 14th verse here that we just read, he said, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the cross of Jesus Christ, not just the cross, that the world was crucified to Paul. Paul said, the world's dead to me, and I am dead to the world. That's a basic dogma of Christianity. Christianity, you have heard from this pulpit many, many times, is not simply a joining one's name to another name. It isn't simply a matter of identifying one as saying, I'm a Christian, and letting it go at that. Christianity is the world being dead to you and you being dead to the world because something unique and incomparable has happened to you and in you by the power of the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that thing which has been accomplished in you is that you have become a new creature. And if you have become a new creature, then the old things are dead to you and you are dead to the old things. There is not the old life in you, but the new. The interest changes. The direction is opposite. The view is upward. The anticipation is heavenward. The desire is Christward, and the march is homeward. And it's important that we understand who we are, why we are, how we got that way, where we're going, and how we're getting there. We need to know it. And when we know it, we need to do it. I'd like you to turn to the last basic verse of this very basic topic, which is also in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I'd like to read on here and try to get the import of what is being said here. He's talking about new here. New. Not changed. New. He's talking about transformation here, not reformation, transformation. He's talking about a miracle having occurred in every blood-bought child of God, something that is so unique and incomparable that there can be no duplication of it by any source or by any other power. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. If you want to underline something that'll help get you out of the closet, underline ministry of reconciliation. He's given to us that ministry. The ministry that he has given to us is to bring others into the place of reconciliation unto God. That's the ministry. You can't do it if you're a secret Christian. This can't be done. It's not possible. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Underline that. It's part of the ministry. Word means something verbalized, something said. It is the word that stigmatized the Apostle Paul. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, being the word, was stigmatized as being God's man, and it took him to the cross. And here is the clincher. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, that you be reconciled to God. Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment. An interesting thing happened in American politics just yesterday. A guy named Robert Strauss, who was the chairman of the Democratic National Committee during the tenure of President Carter, a very ardent Democrat, and a man who was active in governmental circles for many, many years of his life. He started his public career as an FBI agent. Ardent Democrat, Jewish man. Was appointed by the Republican president, George Bush, to be the American ambassador to the Soviet Union. That's a pretty interesting turn of events. Because generally speaking, things like that don't happen, but he becomes the ambassador. And so he was asked, as he was interviewed yesterday by the plethora of reporters, how is it that you can reconcile the fact that you are a Democrat with different political views being aligned and appointed by a Republican president? And he said, I'm an ambassador. Politics end at the shoreline. I'm an ambassador for the United States of America, and I speak the words that I speak as an ambassador for the President of the United States of America. And I thought, bingo, that's it. It's exactly what we need to learn. We leave our differences at the world line. We have been brought over into the ambassage of Jesus Christ. We are in his embassy, and he has appointed us to be ambassadors, which we cannot be unless we identify ourselves as his, citizens of his kingdom. Robert Strauss says, I'm an American ambassador to the Soviet Union. We need to get hold of the same principle and apply it to our heavenly kingdom. We are ambassadors for Christ, which we cannot be as long as we hide what we really are. We need to get going. Time is fleeting. Life is passing. Events are transpiring. The world is hurtling long toward the fulfillment of God's prophetic word. And we have been chosen and blessed to be standing in the middle of the time of dynamism of the word of God in action. Why should we miss out? Think about it. See you Friday. At least I hope I see a lot of you.
Let's pray. Holy Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you now for this time that we have to